I will discuss opening the door. Now, one of the things that I like about living in Washington, D.C., is the changing seasons and how we acknowledge the celebrations associated with that particular time of year. Each season has its particular charm and its fascination. This past week reminded me that, yes, indeed, fall has arrived. This weekend, we changed our clocks, allowing time to fall back 1 hour. The crisp air, the cooler temperatures, they prompt us to bring out the sweaters and turn up the heat. Still, there is nothing so refreshing as a brisk morning walk in the neighborhood. Now, one day this week, during my morning stroll, I noticed that people had decorated their lawns and porches according to the season. Now, Halloween is the current event, so I saw lots of pumpkins, witches, and, yeah, there were a few scarecrows. Before long, this season will change again, bringing the opportunity for a different array of decoration. In a few weeks, there may be accessories and other trimmings more appropriate for Thanksgiving. And then, let us not forget about Christmas. When the month of December arrives, we will find colored lights, inflated Santas, and the manger scene, all arranged side by side in the front yards of the neighborhood. While most people find this activity enjoyable and appropriate, these individuals understand that at some point, a particular season is over, and it is now time to put those decorations back in storage. Perhaps we keep them in the garage, the basement, or the attic. And if those Christmas lights, the inflated Santas in the manger scene, linger a little too long, perhaps into February, a well-meaning neighbor will feel compelled to bring it to the attention of the owner of the house. After all, a season can only last but so long. Now, one thing did get my attention. Just about everyone had a decoration hanging on the front door, even if they did not have any other decoration. There was something attached to the door. Now I thought about this. What is so fascinating about a door? Well, a door is a point of entry. Think about it. When we seek entrance to a residence, the door is the very first thing that we see. The door greets us before the owner of the house can acknowledge that we are even standing there. The decor of the door to the entryway, it is important. It sends a message. It may indicate an invitation to enter, announcing that you are welcome in this house. But if the design of the door is a little less inviting, it may be a not-so-subtle suggestion to stay away. You are not welcome. Only certain individuals may enter in. Now, those denied entry, they may include solicitors, survey takers, and anyone from the local school selling magazines or candy. Regardless of the intent of the one knocking at the door, the purpose of the visit is to gain admittance beyond the door. It is really all about access, seeking approval to enter. So, contemplating a desire for admittance, I began to shift my focus from the concept of a door as merely a point of entry, expanding my approach to a broader view of that word, admittance. Throughout life, we have sought entry into something. Perhaps we wanted to join a particular club or group. We may have desired acceptance into a specific college or university. Now, when it comes to our occupation, to our talents and our profession, we were very selective in determining where we wanted to work, carefully considering certain companies, organizations, or firms to employ us. We gave much thought to preparing our resume, hoping it would lead to an interview and then that desired second callback. Our earnest desire was to hear those magical words, "You are granted admittance to this place. You are hired. You are that person we have been looking for." Now, sometimes our desire for admittance is not so clearly defined, making our searching and our seeking a little more difficult. Actually, there may be those times when we really do not know what we are looking for at all. And not knowing what we want access to, we cannot consider doors of entry, how to get there, or what we might find when we arrive. We just know that something seems to be missing. So the desire is to find a way out of our feelings of restlessness and uncertainty. We wish to find a way in to a feeling of harmony, peace, and conviction. Perhaps what we are looking for is not tangible at all, but rather it is an idea or a solution. While we are certain that, yes, there is an answer, it appears to be hidden from us, just beyond our reach, locked away where we cannot get to it. The desire may be for information and insight. We may ask, what exactly is the method or approach that leads to wisdom, knowledge, and understanding? What exactly is the way of discovery? Perhaps what we're looking for is a key, a crucial piece that will unlock the door which hides the treasure. In searching for ideas and solutions, we may find the answer located in a book, revealing information we did not even know existed. Perhaps the answer comes through a conversation with a friend or a coworker. As we become more open, more receptive, our view changes. Our approach to life broadens and expands to include intuitive feelings, inspired ideas. Working in this way, we find us in a realm of awareness beyond our previous understanding. We discover there is nothing outside our ability to receive and comprehend. We just have to discover the way of admittance. We find our assurance in the Bible. The Bible tells that there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. It then speaks of the activity necessary to bring this about. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every man that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, the door shall be opened unto you. We read this passage very carefully. It promises that to every man who asks, seeks, and knocks in this way, that the reward shall be access to what was previously hid. The earnest seeker learns the reality concerning the mysteries of life. What is covered is revealed. What is hid is made known. Now we consider all of this as good news. You see, the assurance applies to every man. And we are certain that the category called every man surely includes us. We also understand that this is an activity of our inner being, our inner nature. Mental thought, physical might, they do not have the power or the authority to unlock doors that reveals the secrets of life. They simply are not knowledgeable enough or wise enough to do these things. What is of God must be spiritually discerned. The questions that we are asking concern the reality of us. We want access to the truth about us. Exactly what is the purpose of life on this earth plane? And what is this thing called eternal life? For eons of time, we have considered our material manifestation to be our identity. We looked at our physical self, accepting it as our reality. Now, this has not always been a pretty picture. Our appearance seems to indicate that we are aging, sick, dying, sinning human beings. While we did not like this assessment of us, we accepted it as the way of life, not realizing that we have control over what we think and know about us. But you see, the more we study, we no longer trace our heritage to that man of dust. When we become open and receptive to a broader view about life, we can no longer judge us in the same old way. We remember that we receive those intuitive feelings and those inspired ideas, and we follow their guidance and their direction, and they introduced a new idea of self for our consideration. Inner encouragement spoke of a presence in us, one that goes beyond the human nature, one that transcends mental thought and physical might. Jesus knew about this. He called the presence Christ. He told us that we could trust it, and he proved it. Jesus lived from this reality of self, earning him the designation Christ Jesus. Jesus told us that this presence dwells in us. And we have received glimpses that this is so. We sense it is the divine presence in us that gave us those intuitive feelings and inspired ideas. We believe what Jesus told us to be true. So we ask, what else did he have to say about Christ? In John 10:9, Christ Jesus tells us, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. We read further, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, we all have some idea of the purpose and the function of a shepherd. This is the one who tends to the flock, the one that cares for them, feeds them, and keeps them safe from harm. Now, about those sheep. We learn that sheep are the most harmless and innocent of all animals. Now, metaphysically, the sheep referred to in this passage represent the natural life that flows into man's consciousness from spirit. What comes to us from spirit is pure and holy. It is sacred, not tainted by human thought or opinion. It is from God. When we open our awareness to realization from spirit, we entertain spiritual things. We must keep them pure according to their original intent. We should not expose a God idea to the human thought to misuse and abuse. Somehow, we must guard and keep safe what God gives us. Now, we think about this, and we may not feel up to the task. We may feel inadequate, unable to fulfill this mission. However, that is okay. You see, we of ourselves are not meant to do this. We of ourselves, we do not have the authority or the responsibility. Human beings have no idea how to guard spiritual thoughts or spiritual things. Human beings do not know how to tend to or care for what comes from God. Christ Jesus said it so clearly, I am the door. I, Christ, the divine nature, am the way. We study these words and we ponder them. Clearly, Christ is the one who has the authority and the responsibility to care for and to tend to what comes into our consciousness from spirit. Finally, it dawns on us. We are talking about consciousness, about our individual consciousness. We are the ones who decide what enters into our awareness, what ideas we will invite in, entertain, and accept. Now, up until now, I have considered the activity of asking, seeking, and knocking to be our desire to gain entrance or access to something. However, when it comes to individual consciousness, we are standing at the other side of the door, deciding to whom or what we will grant entry into our awareness. Many people and many things come knocking at our door, seeking admittance, asking for our acceptance and our approval. While it is true there is a divine presence in us, until we are consciously aware of it, it will not be so for us. Until we invite this presence into our consciousness as a living reality, it will not be able to guard what is of God from those outside elements. Christ is the indwelling presence in us. And when he says, "I stand at the door and knock," he means he is standing at the door of our consciousness, asking for permission to enter in. We have access to all things through our consciousness. When Christ rules in our house of awareness, oh my goodness, we have access to everything we will ever need. Spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding are ours. The world is at our fingertips, eager to give us its best and its finest. The universe awaits our attention so that it can do our bidding, all according to the divine idea. Infinity stands at the door, ready to pour out the allness of life. Nothing is withheld, nothing is hid, and all is made known. We will notice that while I, Christ, is standing at the door of our consciousness and knocking for admittance, it is not breaking down the door to get in. That part is up to us. Christ will stay hidden forever unless we open the door of our awareness and realize that our consciousness is the entrance hall, the door, the access to the infinite. The infinite finds interest into our experience only through our awareness. And so we ponder, we reflect, and we contemplate what we have seen and what we have heard. Eventually, we reach the conclusion that without the divine presence as a conscious part of our life, that our life is not much worth anything. We come to the place where we have to admit that above all else, we want Christ to rule in our house of consciousness. We now give our attention and our focus to opening the door. We speak of meditation. How does a person have access to that which is knocking at the door, except by closing his eyes, shutting out the appearance world, and turning within in a state of receptivity? This is meditation. Complete surrender of the material self is required. Entering the silence as the empty vessel opens the heart, mind, and soul to the infinite presence. Without speaking, without whispering, without thinking anything at all, we silently open consciousness. There are no bells or whistles. There are no announcements concerning what we have done. Just a quiet knowledge that God is in this house and all is well. Because of the revelation of Jesus, we understand the role we play in living the abundant life. It is not a matter of us asking God to do something to us, something for us, to give something to us, or draw it to us. We have learned of that infinite storehouse in us, waiting to pour out its blessings, fulfilling the promise, all that I have is thine. What was covered has been revealed. What was hid has been made known. Stay true to your time of meditation. There really is nothing else for us to do. This morning we have the opportunity to turn within, to open the door and feel his presence. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? In our time of meditation, we relax our bodies and close our eyes. We find us in a place of give no thought. We are free of the world with all of its fear and concern. Time ceases to exist. We are free of what happened yesterday and what tomorrow might bring. In the solitude of this moment, we are alone with God. In the silence, we hear a voice from within us, "Seek, and ye shall find me. I am here. I will never leave you." Ask your questions. What you wish to know is the truth of you, who you are, and from whence you came. You are my child. I care for you. I instruct you, and I teach you in the ways in which you should go. Nothing is hid from the one who earnestly seeks me above all else. Spiritual light illumines the dark places, erasing confusion and erroneous belief. In our asking and seeking, let us request wisdom, insight, and perception beyond the capacity of mortal man. Then let us be still and listen. God is, and beside him, there is none else. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen. Go in God's peace.